So welcome back. So in this module, we are going to look at some of the NoSQL technologies on Windows Azure. I have with me, my name is Saptak Sen. I'm the technical product manager for Big Data in the SQL Server team. And I have with me Bill Ramos.
Hi, I'm Bill Ramos with Advaya, and I'm going to be demoing off how to use Azure Storage Tables and then actually an application called MongoDB, which isn't part of Windows Azure, that you can actually run on your local hard drive or in a server environment. And so we'll see how that works.
Awesome. So let's look at the Azure Tables a little bit more. In Azure Tables, you typically, with your account, you'll have you can have a bunch of tables, and then you can have a bunch of entities. Now, the entire table can be as large as 100 terabytes. Is that right?
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah, and then you can have many entities within that. You can think of entities as almost rows of data within a table. And then within the entities, you have these properties. And these properties are name value pairs. So it has a property name and then a property value and so on. So the cool thing is that the different entities can have slightly different structure. So which provides a lot of flexibility as your business evolves as to how your schema can evolve with your business requirements. Now let's look at how and discuss a little bit around how it works. Now, Azure Tables has a REST-based API for your queries. Of course, it also supports rich libraries like Link, language integrated query. We have seen Link in a previous chapter or a previous module. And then we also have ADO.NET access from your .NET code to access the Azure Tables. Now with that, let's look at a demo around how you can use Azure Tables in action. Bill?
Okay, what I'm going to do now is show you how we take a small subset of that census data that we had downloaded before and processed with Hive, and take that and load it into an Azure storage table. And then from there, write a little, I'll show you how to use the Windows Azure Storage Explorer to interact with that. So let's go ahead and get started with the demo. To give you an idea what the demo is, again, this is that subset of the data that we had. And so this is like from the raw version of it. And we call this sample census data.txt. Again, it's just a small portion of these larger files that we had right here. Now I've gone ahead and I've already created the Visual Studio project for this. So I'll go ahead and open it up. And what I did is actually created this project as a generic web app. And we have a little web UI that we're going to do. And the first thing I needed to do is actually go in here and install the package for the Azure Storage Explorer. Now, I've already done that, so it says it's already installed, so I've got that all set up. And that what that did is it installed all the binaries that I needed to do to configure my app or to set up the references for my application. Now the next thing I did is I went into my web config file here, and in the connection strings area of the web configuration, normally you'd have database strings here. What I did is I configured it for my Azure storage account. In this case, the account name was called BD Jumpstart, and the account key is the key that I got from my Explorer. And so with this information here, this will allow the application to interact with my storage account so I can create my table. So again, by using the web config file, setting up my connection to Azure Storage. The next thing I did is I needed to create a class file that defined my table storage app. And what this is it defines my census entity here. And what this will do is when I'm processing the data, it will go ahead and do very similar to what the MapReduce job did, is split up all the words into a comma-separated value, and then extract the required values into the class elements, so state, county, age group, population. And then we create what's called a table partition key, and this is what Azure will do to look it up. And so we create this combination of the state, county, and age group, and then followed by the data, the key value. So that's the key, and then the value will be the age group. And so what we're doing, again, is using the same code that we had before to set up our age groups, taking that value, and then setting up the row key so that we have a unique value. And then the other thing that we need to do is indicate how to declare the various variables with the set and get methods. So this is a standard class enumeration that you would write for processing the data with the class. Next, what I did is I went ahead and created my ASPX program. And in my ASPX program, this is a very simple little web form here that goes ahead and indicates the table storage app that I'll show you here in a moment, and goes ahead and finds a label. In fact, let's just go ahead and design view. Very simply, it has a message and a couple buttons and then a table where I'm going to put the data. Now in the class file for that, I have a series, let's go walk through that. So here's the table storage app that was referenced by our actual HTML page. We tell the application what the, we're going to set a variable here for the Azure table name, and we'll call it census data. And then when you click the button, so when we go back to the design surface here, and that is the GUI here. When we click this load table, what we're going to do is read the local file from our hard drive. So go back here and our CS file here. So when we go ahead and open that up, what we're going to do is set up our storage account variables with our connection string information, and then go ahead and create our table client. And so these are standard Azure commands that you'll do to get your table set up. We set up our table reference here by getting the Azure table name. And then what we do is we issue this create if not exist command, which will go ahead and create the Azure table if it doesn't exist. Then we'll go ahead and read in our file. So we specify the name of our data file. And we just use a standard stream reader for this and read all the data in to the end of the stream, and then close out the file. And then as part of this definition, what we're going to do is for each line now that was read in, we're going to go ahead and call our class definition that will go ahead and split out the population name for our key value. And then we'll go ahead and insert the key and the value into the table, and then go ahead and execute that. So then once the data is loaded, then we'll go ahead and show you how to retrieve that data from the storage account. And so that will be the other button that we'll press in the app, where we'll go ahead and reference our storage account, get our table to our reference, and then we'll do a link style query where we'll go ahead and say for each entity in the table, go ahead and retrieve our state, our county, our age group, and population into the table region. So that's the essence of the app. And again, this app is available in the hands-on lab manual that will be complementing the session. So to run the app, what I need to do is go back to my GUI interface page here, and I'll go to my source, and I'm going to use the Internet Explorer debug option. So by clicking on this button, this will go ahead and open up the page in debug mode into the browser using this port, and we're set on our ASP page. Go ahead and click this, and so when I go ahead and click this file, it's going ahead and reading the file from our C drive, splitting it off, and loading it into our Azure table called Census Data. When I go ahead and click View Records, this will go ahead and open up that file, and then it shows you the information for the county are the state, the county, the age group, and the population. So just like that, it's very easy to create a Visual Studio application to enter in data and retrieve the data. Now, the other thing I want to show you, when you're debugging, there's the Azure Storage Explorer. So let me go ahead and bring that guy up. This is, again, the Coplex application that we had demoed early on in Module 1 and Day 1 for our big data session. And so I'm going to select our storage account. Again, this is the same account that I referenced in the app. In fact, let me move this over here a little bit and size this. Now, we were looking at just blobs, which showed our containers and everything like that that were associated with the storage account. But there's also this option called tables. And you'll see here at the top of the list is an item called census table. When I click on that, that allows me, it sets focus to the census table item, and we can actually query data right here in the UI. So you don't have to write an app or anything. If you've got a table, you can go ahead and easily view that data. Likewise, I can actually go in here and select a row and say edit, and actually edit some of the data values here in the row. So for example, I could change this population to 2, for example, and update the entity, and that would go ahead and change the value for that item to 2. So with the Storage Explorer, you get easy access to debug, see your tables, run queries using the query syntax to go ahead and analyze your data. So that's it for Windows Azure Tables, and I hope you appreciated this demo.
Now, as you saw, Azure Tables provides you a lot of flexibility and scalability around your data storage options on top of Azure. But there are scenarios where you want a document-oriented data structure. By document-oriented data structure, the most popular ones are JSON or BSON, right? So JSON stands for JavaScript Object Notification Format, and then BSON is the binary equivalent of that. Now, what that provides is kind of a flexible schema, which is hierarchical, which can have different nested structures within it. And for certain application, that's very appropriate. For example, if you wanted to create some kind of a blog site, for example, and then you wanted to have a database at the back end to cater to that blog website, then all the images, the different structures in the blog can become part of the structure of the JSON document, so to say. And then all the data is stored as JSON files or JSON structure. One very popular database that caters to that, and it's very well known in the NoSQL world, is MongoDB. Now, MongoDB is open source. It's supported by MongoDB Corporation. They used to be called
Tengen. Oh, I think they're still Tengen?
No.
They changed name. Yeah,
yeah, week yeah. back, they changed their name. So now they're called MongoDB. MongoDB is not owned by Microsoft, but it's an open source data store, but it works great on Azure, and you can deploy it in a single click and go to town with it. So let's look at some of the structures that MongoDB supports. Now, MongoDB, when your application starts interacting with MongoDB, you typically have all these different replica sets, and this replica sets provides the sharding structure, so that if you have different keys by which you query the data, depending on which key it goes to different replica sets, and then each one has its primary and secondaries for redundancy and scalability purposes as well. Now let's look at the demo as to how simple it is to use. Bill?
Yeah, so what I'm going to do now is go ahead and show you how you can take MongoDB and actually just install it on your local computer. I'll just put it right on this demo machine here and show you how you can interact with some sample data and then go ahead and do some sample queries as part of that. Okay, so to get MongoDB, you start out by going to mongodb.org. And in there, they have a downloads directory. There's a bunch of other things in here in terms of MongoDB. It's not SQL, but they do have documentation that actually maps SQL statements and how they'd look like in MongoDB. And so it's worthwhile exploring all the MongoDB documentation. I'm going to go ahead and click on Downloads, and what you'll do is you'll download the production release recommended here, and then again, depending on your platform, the 64-bit version here, and it will go ahead and download. Now, I've already downloaded this. It's 100 megabytes, not too bad in size. And so once you get it onto your hard drive, what you'll do is go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and let's see if I can make a directory called Mongo. DB. Okay, so that will work. And so I'm going to go ahead and back up here and extract all to the MongoDB folder. So I'll just go back to my computer, C drive, MongoDB, and then click OK, and then go ahead and extract. And again, very similar to what we saw in Mahout, there is no real install on this. You just put it in the directory and extract the items. So let me go through to my extract instructions here. And so now that we have that in our file, I'm going to go ahead and rename it in our C drive. So we have MongoDB, and I'm just going to rename this to DIST. So now that we have our DST directory, we have our bin directory, and so on. So now that we have that, I'm going to go ahead and create a few more folders in our Mongo directory. And so I'll go ahead and create new folder data, create new folder logs. And these will be folders where MongoDB will be told where to put the information. And I'm going to have to rename this as well. So let's see, and I want to create new folder samples. And change this back to Mongo so I don't have to copy paste a bunch. So we've got our Mongo directory. We now have our sample set, our sample stuff set up. And what I'm going to do is bring down a JSON file that's a sample as part of MongoDB. And I'm going to go ahead and copy that to the clipboard, go to my browser, and go ahead and paste this in. Let's go ahead and create a new tab. Copy. Paste. So this is going ahead, and I want to save my JSON file. So I'm going to go save it in my samples directory. So I'll say save as, and then navigate to Mongo samples, and it's called zips.json. So go ahead and let that download. And what this is it's a list of all the zip codes in the United States, along with various other attributes to that. And we're going to go ahead and load that into our Mongo database here as soon as it finishes up. So let me go back over to my little script here, and I'm going to go ahead now and start up my MongoDB instance. So I'm going to bring up a command window here. So here's our command line. I'll go to cd/mongo to our dist directory and bin. And let's take a look at some of the files that are here. So there are various files that are used for importing data, exporting data. There's also commands for dumping out the BISON files once you get them loaded up. But we're going to actually fire up MongoDB as a new instance here. And so the way that we're going to do that is we're going to use the start command and issue this following command. So you look here, we'll start the MongoDB database engine, that's the D, with the database path of the Mongo data, the log path of Mongo logs, and indicate the log name. And so with that, we'll go ahead and copy it to the clipboard and paste in here. So this will open up a new command window, and we'll go ahead and allow access. Now, with the firewall, if you're going to configure MongoDB as a service, you'll want to make sure you allow the firewall options, and this is all well documented in the MongoDB setup instructions. So I'll go ahead and allow access here. And at this point, our Mongo database is up and running. So let's see. And you know, as soon as I kill this window, it would go ahead and kill the MongoDB instance. Let's see how we're doing here on our file. So we'll go ahead and open up the folder here. And I want to give you a quick look at what one of these JSON files look like, because it was kind of hard to tell from the examples in the slide deck. And the way it's structured is you have these bracketed pairs of values. So here we indicate it's kind of like a key value pair, which represents a collection. And so what this is doing is it's you have this notion of collections which sit in a database. And a collection is very similar to a table. And then each one of these lines would represent a row in that table. Now, the structure can be hierarchical. So you'll see here we have city, the name of the city, a location, and the location has two values. And so here's a two-value pair that you can define within the JSON file. And then we have a pop value for the population, the state, code, and then an ID which represents the zip code. And then what we're going to do now is use the import command to load that in. So let me go ahead and give us a little room here and show you what the import command is going to look like. So to do bulk imports of data, we're going to use Mongo import here. And the way this works is we define, we don't have a database yet, so we'll create a database called test. We tell it the collections is called zip, and again, think of collections as a table, and then the file is our Mongo samples zips.json. And again, this is just a command line that we can run from our bin directory. So this is going ahead and connecting to the local host. Indicates that it imported all the items that we expected, and so now we have our database created with our zip code collection. Next, what I'm going to do is show you actually how to run various commands using the Mongo command shell. And so, for example, to start up the Mongo command shell, similar to Hive, you just type in Mongo, and now you get a command shell set up where you're able to enter in commands. If I want to see my databases, I can go show DBS. And let me make sure I got this right. Show DBS. Shows DBS. There. And so there's a local database that's defined for each Mongo database, and then we've got our test database. If I want to see, if I want to go ahead and use that database, all very similar to Transact SQL, you use what's called the use test command, or the use command with the name of the database. So we'll say use test, and it tells you it switched its context to the test database. To see the list of collections, aka tables, you use the show collections command. So let's go ahead and paste that in and show you what that looks like. So there's this notion of system catalogs, and so system.indexes was one of the things in here, and we see our zips collection here, which has all our zip codes in it. If I want to do something similar to select star from zips limit 10, or select top 10 star from zips, I can use this command right here, which is called the define command. So let's show you what that looks like. So the find command will just find the first 10 values based on the limit. If I had that limit off, it would just go ahead and scroll through all the values there. So very easily I can see my values in the database. Now, if I want to do a query on that one, so for example, what I want to do is show, for example, select population, city, state from zips, limit the first 100 values, and I use this greater than syntax here to actually limit the values to where the population in a particular zip code is greater than 90,000. So let's go ahead and see how that what the results look like when I do that. So paste in our command. And so again, we're using find with the population greater than 90,000, returning back our values. Now, what the one value is here after the city, state, and zip, we're saying retrieve the first one. Again, because JSON allows you to define multiple objects or multiple values per particular item, like we did with location, we're just indicating bring us back the first one as part of that. And then we'll go and display this. So we see here these are the most populated zip codes in the United States. So in Los Angeles area and California, Chicago, New York, Brooklyn, that all makes sense. Okay, so we've shown how you can go ahead and query data based on a condition. What I want to do now is show you how you can actually, again, that command was similar to the select top. I want to show you how you insert data. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a new city called Billsville, and I'm going to use the insert command and then give the various properties like city, location, population, state, and then the ID. So we'll go ahead and copy that and then list it here. And so that just inserted the record. And so what I'm going to do is do the up arrow key again and run the same query because Billsville has more than 90,000. We'll go ahead and show it here. And you'll see at the bottom here is the record that I added. Now notice that the order of the columns is different from what I have in the original JSON file. This doesn't really matter because what it's doing is actually using the combination of the pairs of ID value, city value, pop value, state value for all its querying values. So the order that you see these things has no bearing on how queries work. Finally, what I want to do is, because it's rather an extensive sample, I want to point out a sample that was created by SimpleTalk here. So let me go ahead and copy that to the clipboard. And we'll go ahead and paste in the link to this. Now, Jeremy Jarrell, who's a consultant, actually wrote a very nice example of a .NET app that works on top of MongoDB. And it does the blog example that Sapdoc was talking about in the presentation. And so you can use this example. It tells you from beginning to end how to get MongoDB up and running, very similar to what I did here. It goes through the instructions to run MongoDB as a service and then goes through the .NET application for the sample blog application. So I suggest you go ahead and check out that app. It uses a combination of link on top of MongoDB for additional flexibility there on the querying. And so by all means, check it out. So that's it for MongoDB.
Now you saw MongoDB in action. He demonstrated it, how to install and configure and use it on your desktop. But again, doing it in Azure is not that different from the experience we demoed here.
Yeah, there's actually a way that they document in the MongoDB instructions on how to install it as a service so that when your server boots up, that it will go ahead and install directly. So you can have it there on your VM ready to go at any time to work with your application.
Yeah, it's actually in the Windows Azure Store. You just have to select MongoDB and say,
that's
go
cool.
deploy it.
Yep.
Now, here are some links if you want to go read more about table stores, how it differs from Azure SQL database that we have, and then of course how to use MongoDB and then how to configure MongoDB on Azure. So that's the end of this whole day. So hopefully you found it useful. Do leave your comments and feedback, and we'll see you again in another such session in the future. Thank you again for attending.
Thank you.